Hello, everyone, and welcome back into another edition of the Valley Experience Podcast, an Arizona sports podcast between two diehard Arizona sports fans. As always, I'm Ryan Pesesnik alongside Logan Lober. Logan, it's been a little while since we last recorded our podcast. There's a lot that happened in between that time. We had the MLB All-Star game, of course, which the National League finally won for the first time in 9 years. Baseball is back in full swing. And I mean, unless, you know, you're a Diamondbacks fan, then, and if you're a Dodgers fan, you're probably feeling a heck of a lot better right now, because it has been rough for the Diamondbacks ever since they came back or from the All-Star break.
Yeah, it really has. They, as of right now, they are 2-7 in the second half. And for a team that went the whole season, the majority of the season up to this point without being swept, and now they've been swept in three of their last five series. So it has been a pretty brutal slide for the D-backs as of late. They still hold on to a wild card spot right now, but obviously compared to a couple of weeks ago, it is a completely different team right now.
It is a completely different team. And I couldn't agree more with the tweet that you posted out. I think it was either yesterday or the day before, that really the reason why the Diamondbacks are still in the type of position that they are is because of one Corbin Carroll, their rookie sensation, who had a couple homers in the Reds series. And I think really solidified himself as being the clear front runner to win National League Rookie of the Year. He homered yesterday. He homered, I believe, the day before. And I mean, this guy is just the complete package. I mean, nothing else has to be said. I feel like we could go on and on about just how awesome of a ball player that he is. But just specifically as the Diamondbacks as a whole, when I look at them, I'm a bit worried about their bullpen, which that's always, I feel like, been the case with the Diamondbacks for as long as they've been a franchise. But more specifically, I just look at the Braves series. Okay, now granted, they did a good job of bouncing back from the Blue Jays series, which they got swept, and they took 2 out of 3 from the mighty Atlanta Braves. But they honestly should have swept them, because in that final game of the series, you had Zach Gallen and Spencer Strider easily probably number one and two in the jockeying for position for the National League Cy Young Award winner. And the Diamondbacks, for the most part, I mean, you had the Braves that struck first on Gallen, but then the Diamondbacks came back and struck on Strider. And Gallen gave up those two runs after that. The Diamondbacks couldn't get anything else going. I know, like, outside of Corbin Carroll hitting a solo home run. And then Miguel Castro came in and gave up that three-run shot to, I believe it was Austin Riley. So, and that's a guy in particular that I think has really struggled a lot for the Diamondbacks, especially in the Reds series. And I think it's interesting, because I think that on your report card, you gave Miguel Castro a B-, but if we're just basing this off of his last few series, his performance has been F-worthy, at least in my opinion.
No, it really has. You're absolutely right. Just the bullpen as a whole, especially Miguel Castro, just hasn't been as strong as they were earlier on in the season. You know, that's kind of the issue with having guys like Castro, like McGuff and Chafin. Yeah, they've all had their bright spots in the season, but these guys are 5th, 6th, and 7th inning guys. They're not 8th, 9th high leverage situation guys. So when you have them in that, you know, middle relief role for the whole season, you can feel a whole lot better about your bullpen as a whole. But yeah, they got off to a hot start at first, but you can only rely on them for so long. And when they are coming in high leverage situation after high leverage situation, it's going to catch up with them at some point. And unfortunately, it has to kick off the second half. So addressing the bullpen is going to be, it has been a huge need all season, but it is a massive need right now at where we are at this point. You know, their D-backs have fallen out of first place, and you know, they're holding on to a playoff spot by a smidge right now.
They are. And not only that, but also, I mean, we're probably what, a week away from the trade deadline. And there's going to be other teams that are right behind the Diamondbacks that are going to be jockeying for position to go out and maybe get a starting pitcher or two from a team that is struggling right now and is pretty much out of it. I'm looking at, just teams in general right now that are really still jockeying for that playoff position. And another team that is right behind them is the San Francisco Giants. So if I'm the Diamondbacks right now, like I'm really looking at what can I do immediately? Like I'm starting to look at what can they do to address their positions of needs? Because I'll tell you what, even dating back to before the All-Star break, I really think that their downfall really started ever since Merrill Kelly got injured. Because if you look at that starting pitching rotation, I mean, Gallen and Kelly have really been the ones that have obviously been holding it down. And Ryan Nelson has been serviceable. Tommy Henry has been solid. Zach Davies, we don't, your guy, Zach Davies, we don't have to get into because he has just been an absolute crap show every time he's on the mound. And, for the most part, you had your solid rotation there. And now, like when Kelly gets injured, then I really saw the Diamondbacks kind of struggling a bit. So I know we've talked about this on previous shows, but the deadline is coming up and it's important for the Diamondbacks, and hopefully they have a plan in place to go out and maybe get a starting pitcher or maybe even get a few more solid bullpen guys or go out and maybe get a closer. Because look, it's worked for a while. It worked for the first half of the season, but up to this point, it's proven that it hasn't worked. And granted, I know we're still in the early stages of the second half of the season, but it's trending in the wrong direction for the Diamondbacks, and something has to be addressed immediately.
Yeah, the D-backs are in, they are definitely in a tough spot for sure. Because, you mentioned the Merrill Kelly injury. And up to that point, the D-backs were very healthy for the most part. And, that was before, the big slump of guys like Castro and other guys in the bullpen. So up to that point, things were looking great. But now the reason they're in such a tough position is, because they just don't have enough guys that they can count on. And you can get mad at Torey Lovello for putting guys like Castro in these situations game after game, and sticking with guys like Zach Davies for a long time. I know Ryan Nelson has been good as of late, but there was a time where we were questioning why Torey was putting him on the mound every fifth day. But I think this type of stuff, although I am a fan of Mike Hazen, I think this stuff falls on him because he has just not been able to build the depth within the organization. Because as soon as one guy goes down, it's like we're just holding on for dear life. As soon as Merrill Kelly went down, we just didn't have Brandon Pfaadt. We were hoping he could be that guy, but he just hasn't. He had a good start against Cincinnati, but then, kind of fell apart at the end. So, I mean, I think a lot of this falls on Hazen because he just hasn't addressed the depth. And now we're in a situation where, we could risk, overpaying for someone at the deadline and sending us back even farther if it doesn't work out. So I think the fact that, we are more of a wild card team instead of a, threat to win the division, I think at the deadline, what we can expect is some smaller moves, but I still want those to be, impactful moves. Don't go out and, I mean, I would love it, but don't go out and sell your entire farm for a guy like Shohei Ohtani, or, even a guy like Dylan Cease. I think you just got to go out and, I know Gambo said that there might be interest in a guy like David Robertson of the Mets. Just a guy that you can count on who is a closer. He has experience closing out games in the ninth. And just don't go out and sell your whole farm because this might not be the year. And I just want to keep that farm system strong as well we can.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, circling back to your point as well, I'm with you there, Logan. Look, I think that Mike Hazen absolutely deserves a blunt of the blame for this, because while I think he's been a overall great general manager for the Diamondbacks, he's also whiffed on a lot of moves as well. You think about the Paul Goldschmidt trade, you think about the Madison Bumgarner signing. I mean, the list goes. There are a few of them that he has certainly whiffed on. And look, I know that for us as Diamondbacks fans, we got so high on them early on because they had gotten off to a fantastic start, and we're thinking like, man, is this going to be 2017 all over again, where they just, came and made the playoffs? And that's ultimately, at the end of the day, what I hope is going to be the common goal here for the Diamondbacks, making the playoffs and making those strides. But also at the end of the day as well, I mean, I don't think. I mean, my at least for my expectation level going into this season was that maybe at best they were going to win anywhere between 75 and 79 games, because they really came along at the end of last year. And obviously they have they got Corbin Carroll, who has just been playing out of his mind in his rookie year. But also, I mean, you have some young up and coming prospects as well, like Jordan Lawler, who is one of the Diamondbacks' highly touted prospects. Brandon Faude, while he has struggled in his time getting called up from the majors, sometimes it takes a bit for pitchers to, I think, really find their footing and their confidence. And I think that's exactly what he's lacking and probably needs to develop over time. But look, hopefully, and I know like this is probably setting the bar low for me, because trust me, I want the Diamondbacks to make the playoffs, because it would be just an utter disappointment if. They wouldn't, just given the amazing start that they had to start the season. But nonetheless, I think that when you look at the strides that they made last year, considering that they've gotten better, that they got better last year, and it looks like they're certainly going to be better record-wise, I think, compared to last year as well. That should be a huge accomplishment, and maybe something that they can build off of, maybe, at the deadline, or maybe even going into next year.
Yeah, I want to go back to you mentioned that 2017 team, and the big move that they made in the trade deadline was acquiring JD Martinez. And they, despite how amazing JD Martinez was in that second half for the Diamondbacks, they really didn't give up too much for him. So I think if the D-backs, now it doesn't have to be a hitter like JD Martinez, it could be a guy like David Robertson, like I just mentioned for the Mets. But if you can just find that one guy who's going to have an impact on this team without selling off the farm to just keep you in the mix, because we saw the success this team had in the first half. We know it's there. Yeah, this might not be the year. And I don't think it is, but you still should be wanting to compete for a playoff spot. And the D-backs are in the playoffs right now if the season were to end. So the sky is not completely falling. I think the D-backs just got to go out and find that one guy or a couple of guys who can just impact this team, keep it afloat, because like I said, we saw the success this team had in the first half. So I don't want to just, completely jump to the other side and say sell at the deadline. I don't think that should be the case, but just go out and, Hazen has had success with some trades, with JD Martinez trade especially. So if they can just go out and, find the right veteran for this team, I think we still have a good chance this year.
I think we do too. And look, you don't even know if you're going to be in this type of position going into next year as well, because there's a lot that could happen between now and next season. But also circling back to your point as well about if they're going to swing for the fences, I agree. Like, I don't think they should sell everything. And you mentioned in your point earlier about the Diamondbacks going for Shohei Ohtani. The only way that I would be for a Shohei Ohtani to the Diamondbacks trade is if they have a long-term plan. If he's not like a half a season rental or just a 1 year rental, but if they sign him to a lengthy extension. And I think that's going to really fall on Ken Kendrick, because he's proven in his time as being the Diamondbacks owner to have a super conservative approach. And I mean, Ohtani is probably going to be that 700, $800 million player. So you're going to be paying him a boatload of money. And then on top of it, too, probably giving up your entire farm system in order to get him. But I think right now, like you mentioned, what the Diamondbacks need right now is just some depth, some plug-in guys that you can probably go and say, hey, maybe, like you mentioned, David Robertson for the New York Mets. I mean, the Diamondbacks obviously need a closer right now. And then if we're talking about starting pitching as well, I know there's a few guys that are on the block that have been linked to the Diamondbacks, like Michael Lorenzen of the Detroit Tigers, or they had one of that starting pitchers for the White Sox as well, not Dylan Cease, but the other guy whose
Yeah.
name I can't think of off the top of my head. Yeah,
Giolito, I think.
Giolito,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, those are the guys maybe the Diamondbacks have a chance of doing. And maybe if it takes the Diamondbacks to maybe give up their like maybe five, six, like if it takes any of like, you know, if it's going to require the Diamondbacks to give up any of their prospects from, I probably say 6 through 10, sign me up for that. But as long as you're not giving up guys like a Jordan Lawler or an Andrew Jones, or maybe even to a certain point, a Brandon Faude, then if I'm the Diamondbacks, go for it, because you're still in the position now, and just it's important to not throw it away.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure to see what moves the D-backs make because, relievers especially, relievers on, the last year of their contract, they can go for pretty cheap. So, if you can give up like, maybe your 15th best prospect for a guy like David Robertson or I know Scott Barlow for the Royals, I'm sure is on the block, but just some of those teams who, their season's already over. They're just looking to add to their farm system. And, if they're on the last year of their deal, the value isn't really there for them. So you can get away with giving one of your lower ranked prospects. But I think the D-backs, they have to be aggressive. But they have to be aggressive smartly,
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
No, they
They
have
got
to
to go
be
after the right
aggressive but
guys.
smart. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because look, you know, I mean, at this point, I think playoffs are still realistic for them. Now, will they win the division? That becomes more and more bleak by the day, just given that the Dodgers are pulling away, which to no surprise, I mean, they've ruled the National League West for the better part of the last decade or so. And but at least if you can give them a run for your money, then and still at least compete with them, which look, the Diamondbacks have proven that for most part of this season, they can compete with the Dodgers. Now, granted, the Dodgers have had their struggles and they've dealt with injuries of their own. But also, when you consider how much money they're spending on their guys and how little of compared to the Diamondbacks payroll, I mean, the Dodgers payroll is way more than what the Diamondbacks is. And yet the Diamondbacks have still been extremely relatively competitive this year. So, Mike Hazen, I'm looking at you, man. Just please, please do something good for us. You know? Now that we got our Diamondbacks talk out of the way, it's time to move on to the Suns, which there have been leaks that have been on Twitter. I know they have the Suns uniform tracker guy that runs his account, and he leaked a few photos of what the Suns' new look jerseys are going to be for both home and away. It seems to be like they wanted to go and mix a little bit of the 90s with the modern look for the Suns, and I think it's going to be super fitting, especially now that the Chris Paul and Monty Williams era is over and they're transitioning now over to the Frank Vogel, Bradley Beal era. I think it's a good fit for the Suns, especially when you look at them last season, how they brought back their iconic 90s Sunburst jerseys. Now they wanted to incorporate it into their new ones. But the only hope here is that these jerseys are going to ultimately be the ones that the Suns win a championship in, because look, we've exhausted our points enough throughout this show enough about how badly I think we in the Valley here need a championship. But I thought that they overall were a pretty cool success. What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I'm a fan of them too. I'm glad they incorporated the Sunburst. I know the majority of Suns fans would just want the old 90s jerseys just to be their regular jerseys. But you know, if we can't have that, I think this is a nice plan B, if you will, where you know the Sunburst is there. It's kind of a mix between you know the old and the new. So I'm a fan of the jerseys, and I'm interested to see you know some of the alternate jerseys that come out as we get closer to the season.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping that they can keep the PHX jerseys that they had, which was, I believe, their City Edition ones, because I thought were really cool, and those were the ones that I know were they were the new transition ones away from the Valley jerseys. It'd also be cool if they could also keep the turquoise jerseys that they wore as well, because it gave something different. Because I know as Suns fans, we're always used to seeing them in white, purple, and orange. And for them to be in a different color while also representing all of the Native American tribes that are here in Arizona, it was certainly special and I think a great fit for them. So I'd like to see them hopefully bring that one back as well. But also, since we're on the topic of the Suns, DeAndre Ayton, who I feel like we always constantly talk about on this show, and for reasons that aren't always particularly light, and he said that he feels like the whole world is hating on him. And I thought that's interesting because, look, I'm gonna just say this. As Suns fans, okay, I don't think we root for DeAndre Ayton to, you know, fail or have a downfall in any way, shape, or form. But he also has to understand this. And I understand that he is in a position where he's under a lot of stress being, you know, propped up as the number one overall pick from 5 or 6 years ago and him having to live up to those expectations. But he also has to understand too that he is now a professional. And he has no more excuses to make for that. And hopefully, now, considering that the Suns transitioned away from Monty Williams, who I thought was going to be their long-term head coach for a long time, it really spoke to me that the Suns would much rather keep their number one overall pick and franchise center in DeAndre Ayton over a guy who could have been their long-term coach in Monty Williams. And I understand that there were some reasons for why he got fired. We've already mentioned that beforehand. But if we're specifically focusing on DeAndre Ayton, look, this has to be the year where whatever role he is given by Frank Vogel within the offense, he has to make sure that he flourishes in it and that he contributes significantly because it goes without saying that when DeAndre Ayton's game is on, he looks like that number one overall pick that the Suns drafted him to be. And that incredible, and he looks like, I mean, Wilt Chamberlain or David Robinson in the making.
Yeah, you're right. You know, you just mentioned this, but this is definitely this has to be the year for DeAndre Ayton to break out. I think, you know, we have a new coach in, a new system, you know, pretty much new players. If it's not, you know, if your name's not Devin Booker or DeAndre Ayton, it's a whole new team. So this is gonna be it's going to be a new look offense. And you know, despite the three primary scorers of Booker, Beal, and Durant, I think Ayton's going to be a lot more involved this season. And, you know, since he's going to be involved, he's got to show it. He's got to show us something because, you know, the last couple years, it's always what are the Suns going to do with Ayton? Well, this year they moved off the head coach. And, you know, everything is going to be built for Ayton to succeed. And if he can't, then it's got to be the last straw because we thought it might be this year, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. It looks like he's going to be on the team come night one. So I really am hoping for the best for Ayton. I've always been a fan of him. The only reason I, you know, kind of wanted the Suns to move him is because I didn't know how much flexibility they were going to have in building the roster. But obviously, we saw the success they had in free agency. So I think Ayton is going to have a big role. And, I'm excited, to be honest. I'm excited to see what Ayton can do in this new system. And, if it doesn't work out, then, we'll just have to move on.
Yeah, and look, it's not like DeAndre Ayton is a bad player at all. Look, he's still a really, really talented basketball player. He has a really good pick and roll game. He has a pretty wet jumper for him being a 7 foot center in this league. And overall, he possesses incredible athleticism. I mean, there have even been times where I've seen him run up and down the court. And for a 7 foot, 250-pound big man, he can run with speed. And I think for us living here in the Valley, I mean, I remember when he was at the University of Arizona, and I mean, he certainly is one of the most talented college basketball players I've ever seen, especially at that point. And look, I've said this beforehand, and I'm going to keep on beating the same exact drum again. Look, the Suns made the right choice in taking DeAndre Ayton because, look, they needed a center. DeAndre Ayton was getting comparisons to Wilt Chamberlain and David Robinson. And if you're the Suns, why would you hesitate on taking a guy like that? And I know, like, we expect DA to be that 20 and 10 guy every single night, but even if he can be that 15 point, 10 rebound guy, or even I'd even go as far as to, or even as low as to say a 10 point, 10 rebound guy, at least if he is engaged and is completely, locked in with the game plan, then I'm feeling good. And maybe that falls a little bit more on Monty Williams because there have been times where the game plans for the Suns haven't really been revolved around DeAndre Ayton, or it really hasn't been a priority to get DeAndre Ayton involved in the game plan. But hopefully with Frank Vogel, this can be the time for DeAndre Ayton to continue to elevate his game. And look, I'm just going to say this, like, I know we personally aren't rooting for DeAndre Ayton to fail because outside of him being a really talented basketball player, he's also got a really infectious and positive personality as well. Like, you always see him happy-go-lucky. He's a great locker room guy. And those are the type of guys that, I mean, when you're in a locker room full of, other professionals, it can rub off, in a great way for a lot of those other guys. So look, I really hope that DA, if he is like, now if he feels like the world is hating on him, that he channels that energy into improving his game this offseason and he comes out just with a monster performance this upcoming season because so that he can go and silence all of those haters.
Yeah, I really hope so. And, we all know that this whole season, despite the star power that the Suns have, all eyes are going to be on DeAndre Ayton because of just the image that he's had the last year or so. But, this season we're going to be paying a lot of attention to him. And, I really hope that this is the year because, like I just mentioned before, I've always been a fan of DeAndre, and we've always been fans of DeAndre. And so we really hope that, this is going to be the big breakout year that we've all been hoping for because we all know it's in there. And, a lot of people were saying a change of scenery is needed. Well, we kind of got some of that with, just a new coach. So maybe that's what he needed. And, I'm excited about Ayton this upcoming season. I'm excited about the Suns as a whole this upcoming season. So a lot of fun stuff to look forward to. And come basketball season, this is going to be something we're talking about a lot. And the success or the opposite of that for DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, absolutely. But and then you mentioned change of scenery. I think he needed it. I mean, he clearly needed that because as long as Monty Williams was going to be the head coach, DeAndre Ayton, I think, was going to, I mean, have a reduced role within the Suns offense. And I think now that, I mean, the Suns have that new guy in Frank Vogel, Now this is going to be, I think, a chance for DeAndre Ayton to prove, okay, how badly do I really want it? Like, do I want to be a top center in this league? And I think it's going to be a great chance for him to really prove that. Alrighty, guys, that is going to do it for us here today on the Valley Experience Podcast, an Arizona sports podcast between two diehard Arizona sports fans. Alongside Logan Lober, I'm Ryan Pasesnik. Thank you so much for tuning in as always. Please make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Valley Experience and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram for more amazing updates on all things Arizona sports. Until next time, we appreciate you guys and thank you so much for giving us all of the love and support. We also want to give a shout out to Geraldo Perdomo as well. Logan, you made that reel last or a couple weeks ago, and you tagged Geraldo Perdomo in it, and Geraldo ended up liking that post. So shout out to you, Geraldo. Thank you so much for giving the love. And also, we want to acknowledge as well that I believe it was our sixth episode, fifth or sixth episode, we ended up getting 500 views on that, which was by far our most viewed podcast since we've been doing this. So thank you all so much for all of the love and support that you have showed for us throughout this entire process. It has been a blast, and I'm just super excited to be able to do this with Logan and to also produce all of this content on a weekly basis.
Yeah, couldn't say it better myself. Thank you guys so much for just tuning in every episode and showing your guys support. And the content is not going to stop. This D-backs are in the thick of things in a playoff spot, and that's going to roll right into the fall when we got college football coming back, and the Suns of basketball is just right around the corner. So a lot of stuff to look forward to from us at the Valley Experience, but just want to thank you guys so much for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and like the video. If you're listening on audio, go ahead and just give us a follow and give us a rating if you want. So thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you guys in the next one.
Absolutely. Till next time, guys. Take care.